And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, by the way, folks, when you during the breaks, when you hear the ads playing, know this. Those are important. That's part of how we sustain operations here at Right Side Radio. So we are a standalone business. Right Side Radio is not owned by the stations that you hear us playing on. We are literally a business that has its own revenue streams and operations and things we have to pay for, just like everybody else. And so one of the ways we support that is by selling ads. And if you're listening to the show and you think, man, those guys got it going on. They talk like me. They think like me. They have my same views and values. And you want to align your business with Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you. We'd love to have you on the team. So you can't call the station and get it worked out. You got to call us. So contact us by going to the Right Side Radio website. That's rightsideradio.org, www.rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising tab, send us a message, and we will get right back to you. All right. Hey, listen, let me jump over here and get a few text messages before we get down to the end of the hour, half hour. By the way, coming up in a few minutes, State Representative Susan DeBose will be calling in. As we switch gears and go into library wars. But, over here in the text lines, Kenneth from Somerville says 6.9 million illegals is the ones we know about. That is true. There is no telling. There are some estimates that it's closer to like 11 million. Boomer is going apoplectic over here. Todd from Huntsville says migrants, words have meaning, Phil. Call them what they are, illegal aliens. I don't think I called them just migrants. They're illegal migrants, but I would agree with you. I don't disavow that term. I think it's true. They are illegal aliens. It's not politically correct, but it's also reality. Alan from Killen says, says, I was just thinking about around 1988, he says, we had a chief master sergeant in the Alabama Air National Guard point out to some of us that a nuclear war was not the thing to worry about. He said, one of these days, the people south of the border will simply eat their way across the country. He said, I guess Chief Shaw knew a little something. When you said, here I am, feed me, it made me think of that again, all the way back in the 1980s. You know what? Wow. People can see stuff coming. It's not rocket science. It's not hard to figure this out. Kyle from Sheffield says, border madness. Given the credible conspiracy of election 2020, sounds like a staged swing vote, perhaps. Since our new additions to our population are no means by a vote by any other way, there's a process, and this is it. Yeah, I don't think they can vote in this next election. There's no way they can get a bunch of illegals the opportunity to register to vote. But what we're hearing right now is the Biden administration just issued a directive. And in every one of the, what's the name of the organization? The CSIS, Customs and Immigration Specialty Service, I believe it's called. Anyway, they're the ones who basically are take care of people being in process and sworn in as U.S. citizens. He's requiring that they have get out the vote organizations present to help get them registered as immediately upon enrollment, which I don't blame that. That's not a problem. They have a right to vote at that point because they're now U.S. citizens. It's those organizations that I don't trust because they're decidedly left-leaning. And then Barbara from Athens, she sent me something. Barbara, I don't have time to read every link you send me. I'm sorry. She sent me like three or four links to go watch C-SPAN videos and stuff like that. She says, I heard you say to a caller to give something in writing about Obama reinstating propagandizing the American public. Okay. I believe that actually came out in an interview with Robert Kennedy Jr. However, according to this left-wing rag, Operation Mockingbird was never officially discontinued. Interesting. Okay, I will have to take a look at this. Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it. All right, listen, I'm putting a lid on that one. We're moving to the next thing. We're going to talk about libraries. We've talked about it several times. It's been worth talking about, too, because it's been pretty legit. Well, coming up in a few minutes, State Representative Susan DeBose will be on. She wrote a piece that was published in both Yellowhammer and 1819 News entitled, It's Time That Our Libraries Disaffiliate from the Toxic American Library Association. And you know what's crazy? Is you have to look at it and think, when did libraries become a battleground? How'd this happen? It's a library. It's like the place that if you're thinking of a calm and sedate and orderly and reasonable place to be, a safe place, if you will, You might think library, like a place where non-controversy is the rule or the order of the day. A place where you can go in there and check out a good book and sit quietly and no one can disturb you. And the worst you might hear is someone say something a little too loud and the librarian say, shh. That's a library, a place where you study, you know, a place where you peruse and expand your horizons. And now friggin' libraries have become battlegrounds. It's like liberals can't leave anything alone. How about this? We want our rainbow back and we want our libraries back. Can we get that straight? All said and done, we're going to talk about it some more. Library wars. It's real. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation. That'd be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal like way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, y'all, we spent the first portion of the show on the first dipper talking about what I call border madness. We're moving on now to the second part of the triple dipper. And we've talked about it before, but I'm calling this the library wars. Why is that? When did libraries become controversial? How in the world did we go from the library being that comfortable, wonderful, you know, moderate place in the community where you go to check out a book or study or, you know, get online because you don't have internet somewhere else and the librarian's there to assist you and make you feel comfortable. And now it's like a hotbed of liberalism. And controversy seems to swirl everywhere we look. Well, State Representative Susan DeBose is coming online with us right now. She's a Republican member of the State House of Representatives representing District 45. And she, by the way, she and I were just talking right before we went on the air and realized we had to. We've known each other in past lives because we graduated college the same time at the University of South Alabama. Anyway, she wrote a piece recently, came out in both 1819 and Yellowhammer and maybe some others, and she titled it, "It's Time That Our Libraries Disaffiliate from the Toxic American Library Association." And without further ado, let me welcome State Representative Susan DeBose. How you doing?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great. And I'll tell you what, I am fired up about this Library Association. Every day I get more and more upset about what's going on in our libraries.
Well, and it's kind of mad. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was a kid. I loved having a library card. I actually would go check out books on my own, ride my bike to the library. And, you know, I was the rough and tumble kid climbing trees, building tree houses and playing soldier. But then I also was really, I loved to read. And the library was a special place.
It was, and in fact, gosh, it was my babysitter. When I left school, my mom worked, and so my sister and I would walk to our community library, and we'd hang out there in the afternoons, and we'd do our homework. And it was a safe place to be, and you could pick up any book and start reading. You could have a librarian help you find a book. But today, I'd be scared to ask a librarian in some libraries to help my child find a book. Now, they aren't all that way. We had some fabulous libraries with real good conservative librarians, and we have some that are that I would not let my child loose in.
No, that's a great point. I mean, so back in the day, your mom trusted your local library enough for you and your sister to go there as kids by yourselves, and mine did too. Well, listen, I mean, part of that is a leadership thing in the American Library Association and its Alabama affiliate, the Alabama Library Association, are both like just extreme uber liberal organizations now. And you've called on a disaffiliation. Talk about that piece you wrote.
That's right. I feel like everything that's going on in our local libraries, the problems are being pushed down from the American Library Association. Most of these local libraries copy their bylaws, their guidelines from those that the American Library Association puts out. And the Alabama Library Association, in turn, copies guidelines from the American Library Association. So our Alabama Library Association is just as woke. And some local libraries, it's as if they don't realize they don't have to go by these guidelines.
Yeah.
This is not the Bible. These are not laws. This is just an activist organization that puts out these guidelines. Local libraries need to be having books. They need to have guidelines that represent their communities, not these woke standards going on nationwide. And I was just on the Alabama Library Association website. They go by ALLA. And they had a conference this year. Of course, it's virtual. Some of these woke people are still scared to hang out together. But their annual conference, the one and only meeting of the year, guess what the title of it is? It's Diversity, Inclusion, and Social Justice.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what they talked about for a whole day. So, I mean, we have kids in the state of Alabama that cannot read at grade level. They are not proficient. We are one of the lowest states in the nation as far as reading capabilities of our children. You would think if you were going to have one meeting a year, all the libraries together, would they not at least spend a little bit of time talking about our kids and how can we enrich these students and upgrade their reading life? Instead, they're talking about just crazy stuff. Don't say gay at 4 o'clock. A taxonomy framework of LGBTQ and information support services in public libraries. Defending diverse youth books in your library. That was their most important topic of the whole year.
It's actually madness. I mean, you look at it and think, is there any place left where agendas by progressives are not trying to infiltrate? And the library, I think, is the last place in the world that I would have ever expected to find controversy. But they've chosen to make it that.
We didn't expect it. Yeah, and you know, it happened while we were sleeping. Honestly, we weren't paying attention to our libraries, and they were quietly doing this work, and they were eroding away at our children's, what we want our children's to see. And, you know, before we know it, we have a Marxist librarian that was elected president of the American Library Association, freely elected. I mean, she was loud and proud Marxist librarian. Everybody knew exactly who they were electing. And they elected her to represent all of our libraries in the United States.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bugs me is, and when we talk about wokeness, you know, we're looking at, you know, the LGBTQ agenda and climate change, you know, policies and all the things that go into collectively being referred to as woke. But some of it's also just what you might just call the prurient interest. It's literally things like they're refusing to have policies about pornography filters in libraries. So porn
exactly
is available
right
to kids, and they want to
that's
talk
right
about sexual orientation. And, I mean, it really goes beyond the pale.
It does. So what the American Library Association, or even the Alabama Library Association, came out and said recently is that, in fact, let me read you this one statement because I was looking at it today. You know, their goal is to get to our kids. And their goal, okay, here's one of them, ALLA. We reject past, current, and future efforts to remove access to materials from consenting readers. Okay, so what is a consenting reader?
Yeah.
A consenting reader to the ALLA is every human being. Now, minors, in our opinion, you know, they cannot give consent
that's
to
right
what they read.
That's right.
Parents decide what minors read, but not in the eyes of the library. Every child gets to choose what they want to read. Now, I have a real problem with that. And they think, and this is another quote, library workers are trained to curate collections that are designed to be inclusive. And then they go on to say, and our ethical responsibilities are to uphold First Amendment rights of the Constitution. Well, your First Amendment right does not include obscene material.
That's right.
You need to know that. Obscenity is an exclusion to your First Amendment right. The Code of Alabama has the Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act, and there is material that we have deemed, and there's a very particular definition, you can go in the Alabama Code and look at it, that is not considered to be protected by free speech. So libraries don't have a right to everything. They don't. They want to think that they do, but yeah, they do not.
Well, and I wonder too. And it's one of those hard calls where, you know, having served in the legislature myself, I recognize there's things we can do, but then I also kind of get myself back into a place where it doesn't always have to be big government saying here's what you have to do. But I do know this. I distinctly recall as a state senator the fact that we do have grants that come out of the Education Trust Fund every year that go to public libraries all over the states in our districts. And I can't help but wonder if we're looking at something in the future where the legislature may have to say, you know, we love you, libraries, but those grants are going to stop if you continue to remain affiliated with the ALA.
I know. I would hate for it to come to that, but, you know, it could. We do have the power of the purse, and there is money that, yes, you're right, it comes out from our Education Trust Fund. I would love for local libraries to look at who's on their boards, and let's make sure we have good, conservative, common-sense people on local library boards, because those boards are the ones that make the decision to hire the library directors. The boards are usually appointed either by the county or the mayor or the city council, something like that. So we need good, responsible, common-sense conservatives on these boards that hire good library directors that can use their common sense in the books that they select, especially in the children's sections. I spoke to our librarian in Chelsea. Her name's Dana. She's fabulous. She reads every book that goes in the children's section. She tries her best to read every book that goes in there. And she didn't pay any attention to the American Library Association. She said, I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. I'm working with the kids, and I want them to have access to good material.
There you go.
And that's who we need leading our libraries and directing our libraries.
Well,
it's not that, but I commend those that do a wonderful job.
Well, and we're not the only state thinking this right now. I mean, you point out in your piece that you wrote that Montana, Wyoming, Missouri, and Texas have all seen their libraries actually pull out, and that we've got things going on right now in Arizona, Idaho, Illinois, Georgia, Louisiana, South. So basically, there's a potential movement afoot, and that conservative states need to really give this some strong consideration.
That's right. We have caught on to what's going on, and we're not going to allow this to continue. And I'm not going to be intimidated by this wordsmith that the American Library Association and the Alabama Library Association says we're trying to infringe on their First Amendment rights and their rights to free speech. That is baloney. I think that our First Amendment rights are of utmost importance. But children need to be protected. They do not give consent in the state of Alabama when they're under the age of 18. And extremely obscene material is protected by state law under our Anti-Obscenity Enforcement Act. So I'm not going to be intimidated. They want to throw out all this transgender words and racist words and all this stuff. It's not about that. It's about protecting our children, and it's about keeping books in libraries that people want to read.
Yeah.
That people, you know, they don't want to read this obscene pornographic material. Now, if somebody wants to order that, that's their right. And there's going to be explicit books that should be limited to adults, okay? Sexually explicit books, keep it in the adult section. I don't have a problem with that.
Well, State Representative Susan DeBose, we appreciate the piece you wrote. We appreciate you having your eyes on the ball. And listen, as this thing develops a little more, maybe we can talk about it more in the future, all right?
That sounds great. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right.
Appreciate
it. Thank you, Susan. Take care. All right, that was State Representative Susan DeBose, represents Alabama House District 45 down yonder in the Jefferson County region. And she's been in the office now, I think, just since last year. So, yeah, she was elected in 2022. But she's on the money here. I mean, I'm saying there is no reason in the world why local libraries need to be taking their policies recommendations from the most liberal organization perhaps in the nation, right up there with the Teachers Union, the American Library Association, run by an avowed and openly acknowledged Marxist who calls herself a Marxist lesbian. Okay, great. And she's putting all her points of belief into the policies that are promulgated. All right, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and we'll talk about this a little further. And then coming up top of the hour, Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be joining us. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I got a phone call I'll take here in 1 second, but I'll tell you, so that conversation we just had with Susan DeBose, I mean, she nailed it. She nailed it about the American Library Association, and she also acknowledged and agreed with me that the Alabama Library Association, as she talked about their website, is affiliated and believes all the same things. Well, I got an article here from 1819 News, came out yesterday. Craig Monger from 1819 wrote this piece. He says, Alabama Library Association pushes back against attempts to remove or relocate sexually explicit children's books. Here's the quote, all right? This is the Alabama Library Association. Their statement on all of the rowdiness happening, you know, all of the parents who are daring to speak out, share their concerns. Says the ALLA has watched with concern the growing number of organized attempts at censorship and suppression in schools and libraries in the state of Alabama across the country. Censorship and suppression. Okay, censorship and suppression. No, how about this? Stop putting nastiness in front of our kids and calling it okay. You can put it in the adult section if you want to. You can go order it on Amazon if you really, really, really need that book in your life. The statement reads, many of these attacks are targeting materials and programs that address race and racism and sexual orientation and gender identity and expression. Well, yeah, except what you're calling race and racism is called critical race theory, like teaching things that are not legitimate, providing children with information that they are part of a systemically racist organization or part of a systemically racist oppressive nation, or that they have white privilege, or that because they're born black, they're automatically not qualified or capable. And then sexual orientation and gender identity? Yeah, that's called the LGBTQ and trans ideology agenda. And no, we don't want that in libraries. You want to teach kids about trans and sexual orientation and gender identity? You can wait till they're 19 years old when they're above the age of majority. And then you can just go ahead and just, you know, have at it. But while they're our kids and we make the decisions about them legally and morally and ethically and spiritually, how about this? Back off, Alabama Library Association. All right, let me jump on the phones real quick. Is that Lee from Huntsville? Hey, Lee, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. I've kind of spoken on this before with you about libraries. I'll tell you why I think, this is my opinion, why they become more and more and more liberal over time is because master's is required in most places. I can't say with certainty everywhere, but it's certainly within the school systems. A master's degree in library science or library and information science, is, you know, a lot of them are called, is required. And the more higher education that is required for a position in something that would be, I don't know, education-related, humanities-related, things like that, you're going to find more and more and more liberal. The professors are uber liberal. And that's what forms and shapes the opinions of these librarians. So, but it's also because that's where, in higher education, is where the communists hide. That's where, you know, all of this ESG and CRT, it's just relabeled, repackaged communism. That's it.
Well, it kind of fits when you find out that the lady who's the new head of the ALA, the national one, is a avowed, she calls herself an avowed lesbian Marxist.
Well, right. A Marxist, Karl Marx, is a communist.
Right.
Let's just get it straight. They can call themselves whatever they like, but underneath, that's what they are. They are, you know, pure out-and-out communists. And they want, but just think about it. If they can control how your children are raised through the school and speak into them, if they can control the books that they see, if they have that level of control over generation after generation, it's no wonder that we have the confused, sad, am I a boy, am I a girl generation that we're at now.
Yeah.
It's direct result of this liberalism in action.
You're totally right, Leap. And hey, we're up against the break, but thanks for you and for what you stand for. We'll have you back on again sometime soon, I'm sure.
Awesome.
All right. See you, Lee. All right. Listen, we're there. We're heading to a break right now. We're going to come right back. Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be on the line with us. We'll talk to her, get her thoughts on what we're discussing here. What in the world? When did libraries become controversial? And then we'll probably switch gears and talk with her a little bit longer about some things that are happening in our political sphere here in the state of Alabama with corruption and possible review of the ethics laws. I'm just telling you, folks, it's something that number three of the Triple Dipper is called That Ain't All Right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.